I think one of the questions we need to ask ourselves are the spaces in which these individuals are operating. So, of course, we have the online spaces. Radicalization does not occur online by itself, but many of these hate preachers and this extremist content is available online and very easily accessible. I was able to access two hate preachers on YouTube this afternoon, and I was able to do a Google search, not about waging war against the West. If I type in waging war against the West, the results aren't Islamist, but if I type in waging war against the Kuffar, who are the disbelievers, then the first result on the first page is hate material. It's extremist material. So I think one of the very important spaces we need to look at is online. And we also have to look at offline spaces. We need to examine areas such as mosques and other areas such as universities where people who are talking about counter-extremism, who are talking about de-radicalization, have previously been banned. They've not been given areas to speak about these issues in schools. And as a result, there's no access. So when we talk about the PREVENT program, which is a program in the United Kingdom started by the Labour Party when they were in government to try to prevent individuals from committing violent extremist acts. We talk about the PREVENT program failing, but why is it failing? So I think that's a very important question that the UK is bound to try to answer over the upcoming weeks and months.
One follow-up. What about encrypted applications that terrorist groups often use?
Yeah, so that's a very good example of something that the government and social media companies need to work closely together to try to understand. Khalid Masood, who was the person who committed the Westminster attacks, was using Google Chat in order to boast about the attack that he was going to do in Westminster a few hours before he actually committed the attack. And that was an encrypted, I think it was an encrypted platform, but most certainly encrypted platforms are used by groups such as Islamic State to advocate for these kind of attacks. So one can argue that the space is merely too wide to cast a net, but that shouldn't prevent us from trying, and it shouldn't prevent technology from evolving to be able to take down this kind of hate content, even if that involves using artificial intelligence and algorithms and counterterrorism and counter-extremism experts to work together to try to take this material down before it influences somebody else.
Potential terrorists are being told to stay at home and do what they can there. What's the biggest threat you see out there in the terrorist world to the rest of us?
This is one of the biggest trends that we've seen is this increase in homegrown terrorism, because individuals who cannot go and travel to Syria and Iraq, as you said, very rightly so, are encouraged to do whatever they can and wreck as much chaos as they can in the countries in which they live against the kuffar, who are the disbelievers who are not Muslims. So the period in which these attacks are occurring and the methods are extremely troubling. What is even more troubling is the level of numbers. So in the United Kingdom, we've had 850 fighters who have gone to travel to Iraq and Syria, of which half, approximately 400 to 450 people, have returned to the United Kingdom. And they are British citizens. They have British passports. And they present a real threat to our society, because these are people who are radical enough to actually go and join to do this, join these jihadist groups. And on top of that, you have, of course, people who have not joined, but who empathize and believe in the cause of violent ideology. So this is extremely troubling. One of the main pieces of research we released from the Henry Jackson Society analyzed between 1998 and 2015 all of the attacks, the Islamist-related offenses, of which we had 99 in this period, and what kind of mechanisms were used in these attacks. And bombing was the most commonly featured type of attack. That was 74%. And then you also had beheadings and stabbings, as we've seen in London recently, but also in Westminster a few months ago, an attempted stabbing, which was 15%, and then attacks made by vehicles, which was just 12%. So this is unfortunately not something new. This is something that has been advocated since 1998, first by Islamist groups such as Al-Qaeda, and normalized by UK-based groups such as Al-Muhajirun. and Hizb ut-Tahrir, who also called for a caliphate. Yeah. And we're seeing it escalated now in the last few months as well.
That's Nikita Malik, a senior research fellow with the Henry Jackson Society in London. GJ Green, WTOP News.